Councilwoman Gebhardt is requesting item number nine, that's bid 2024-373, DPW, provide and install electrical components for warning horn at Connecticut Point. That is found on page 55. Councilman Gebhardt is requesting item number 14, 2024-384, purchase of sand, DPW, found on page 81. Are there any further from members of this committee? And I can come back. Are there any items that members of the council would like to discuss? Councilman Lattisore.
Thank you. Item number 17, replace gate operator at City Yard, found on page 109.
Thank you.
Item number 20, 2024-376, SIGCOM radio, found on page 120.
Thank you.
And that's it.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman, if I may bring to your attention, item number 22, bid 2024-391. Did you want to make a statement on that, or are you all set?
Sure. Yeah, okay. Yeah, good idea. Thank you.
Thank you. Absolutely. Councilman Gebhardt requests item number 24, bid 2016-268. That is found on page 143. Are there any other items that members of the council would like to pull? Are there any other items on the bid packet that members of the public would like to discuss? Are there any items on the bid packet that members of the public? Thank you. So I'll do a quick review. Councilman, the council president requested bid 2024-379, found on page 50. Councilman Gebhardt requested item number 9, item number 14, and item number 24. And Councilman Lattisore requested item number 17, item number 20, 22. And we will go in order. So therefore, I will start with item number 7. That is bid 2024-379. That is the purchase of a 2027 KME 1500 GPM pumper for the fire department. That is found on page 50. Council President McAllister.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, Chief.
Good evening, Council President.
So this one popped up, I think, for most of us here in the council, buying a pumper here, a used one. Can you explain the process on that? Did our people review it? And just for the background on this, I know I've talked to a lot of rank and file police officers, and they are not fans when we purchase used trucks. So we're aware of that. Every council person has heard from people in their neighborhood that are firefighters on this. So if you could just explain the process, how you found this truck, you know, the mileage on it, what are our mechanics reviewed it and stuff like that, and how this is a backup, and just explain the process for us, please, Chief.
Certainly. So some time ago, our reserve fleet was depleted. There really was no reserve fleet. So we've worked over the past couple of years diligently to build up our reserve fleet. And we've accomplished that so that when one of our frontline trucks is down, we're able to keep that firehouse open with a crew in service on a reserve truck. So we were made aware that this truck was going to be put off a sale by the Barrington Fire Department. I should say it was going to go to it was either GovDeals or MusaBid, one of those two sites that's used to auction off vehicles at a price of $50,000. Before we made contact with the fire chief in Barrington and said, before you do that, before you put this on that site, can we have a look at it? So Assistant Chief Gouveia and one of our Department of Public Works mechanics viewed the truck, inspected the truck, and determined it was a good buy for what they were asking for it. And we negotiated the price a little bit lower to from what they were going to ask at $40,000. At the same time, we were decommissioning one of our other reserve trucks, as well as one of our frontline trucks. The frontline truck needed extensive repairs that was somewhere north of $25,000, and after consultation with Public Works Repair, it was determined that that truck was not it was not feasible. It was not worthy to dump that type of money into an old truck like that. It had substantial pump, mechanical, and frame rot issues. So that truck was at end of life. We do have a new truck on order to replace that. However, it's still going to be a decent amount of time before that truck is delivered. And so this will allow us to use this vehicle as a frontline truck until that truck comes in, and then it will continue to serve as a reserve truck for us down the road.
Yeah, as you mentioned, we've come a long way from not having any. I mean, I think we're all very pleased not to see other cities and towns, their last line trucks that they let us borrow. You know, that we haven't gotten that point yet. So this is kind of just to get us from now until we get the new truck that's coming in. You've mentioned it takes well over a year for these. We've been buying them a year out. They've been coming to us before here and for them to build them and to come out and stuff like that. So you're looking for this truck to really be a stopgap here, to be on the front line for a little while, and then would move into the reserve thing. So exactly. We're not looking to get 10 years out of this truck, but it's going to be enough that it's $40,000 to purchase it, but we're not looking, obviously you can't predict the future, but you know, we're not looking to put $200,000 into it after the fact, correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. Because yes, that's always the worry that we have when these purchases come. And I do have to, you know, like I said, I think it's important to express that I know that the rank and file have concerns whenever we purchase these. So we all get those calls. So I think it's important. And I said I would mention it, and I'm mentioning it.
Yes, sir. And the rank and file is aware of the purchasing program that we've put in place with the support of the mayor's office and the city council to upgrade our fleet. And so they're aware that the new trucks are on order, but of course we're facing unprecedented delays and delivery times for these trucks, to the point that the last one was it's over 2 years for the last one that we purchased.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that happens when Warwick wasn't the only city that got ARPA funds, so everybody was trying to purchase these trucks as well. So that plays a big part of it as well. So, all right, thank you, Chief. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Councilwoman Travis.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Chief. I know that you mentioned that Public Works went out, and they're the ones who checked it?
Yes.
All right, because I know a lot of times when I ask questions, they say that they can't, they're not the ones, they have to send the parts out for a lot of the trucks. So I kind of leery about if they're the ones that are checking it, but they're not the ones fixing it, that maybe they might have missed something. And we don't get anything in our packet anymore other than it said no warranty, no guarantee, or nothing. So when was the last time was it used? When was the last time it was serviced? What was the problem it had the last time? I mean, we got burnt at the last administration when we bought something from the airport, and it lasted, what, a month? And we spent that money, and it was no good. So before I spend money, I wanted to know if we're going to get something out of it.
Yes. You know? So I can speak to that. Yeah. So the DPW's repair division will review the truck mechanically. So the engine, the frame, things of that nature. What DPW does not repair is the pump components of it. So they're not certified to repair the pump. So what we did do is we had the pump inspected by a company that is certified to inspect pumps, and we had them review it and inspect it and give us a report on it, and they determined that the pump was it passed the pump test. So they tested it to NFPA standards, it passed the test, and they signed off that it was in good working order and was also a good purchase for us. So we did take that extra step so what DPW could not give their expert opinion to, we had a certified company provide that to us.
Well, I'm glad to see you did that. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Members of the council, Councilman Lattisaw.
Good evening, Chief.
Good evening.
So to kind of follow up on Councilwoman Travis, you know, I remember hearing this same conversation some time ago, and I believe we were convinced to buy a used truck for like, I think it was $25,000 or something. And within a month or so, this thing was basically ready for the graveyard. So I become cautious with a repeat of the same thing. This truck that Barrington, is it Barrington?
Yes, sir.
Is looking to move over to us. Did they purchase this truck new?
Yes,
they did. And is there anything that either you or DPW or anyone else that's been involved in this vehicle know of anything that the city is going to need to spend money on if we approve this purchase? A pump, a hose, whatever, tires, anything. Is there anything that we're going to have to pour money into this vehicle when we get it?
No, outside of normal preventive maintenance, normal preventive maintenance that's done by our repair division, such as oil changes and things that fluids, they determine, yeah, that type of stuff. As far as the hoses and equipment, when a frontline truck goes down, we'll take the equipment off that truck and transfer it over to the reserve truck while the frontline truck is in repair. So we don't have to go out and purchase all of the equipment needed to outfit that truck again. We simply use whatever came off the truck that's going down for repairs, transfer that over to the reserve truck.
So why is Barrington getting rid of this truck?
So they purchased a new truck, and they're a very small department, so they don't need to have the reserve backup fleet that a department our size would need to have. And so they were going to put it on, I forget which site it was, to be honest with you, if it was Municipid or GovDeals, one of the two, but those are the two big ones that municipalities use to sell off property. And so we, as I had said, reached out to them before they placed it on that site, because once they placed it on those sites, the price gets driven up.
It says here that some of the funds to purchase this vehicle are going to be coming from 76359, which is insured proceeds fire. How much money is coming from insurance proceeds, and where did the insurance proceed monies come from?
So $15,000 would come from the insured proceeds and $25,000 from the fire department apparatus maintenance and repair account. As far as what exactly is in the insurance proceeds fund, what I show that as having is $17,531 in it.
So is this money that's left over from repairs or after making repairs to other vehicles?
Yes.
So does that mean the amounts of monies to repair other vehicles that were approved by the council were actually less than what we approved? Is that how you build up this accumulation in insurance proceeds?
No, I wouldn't really be able to speak to the buildup of the funds in it or when funds are paid in or pay out of it. Really, I'd have to defer to finance mm-hmm. on that. But I know over the couple of years, there have been vehicles that have been involved in accidents that were covered by the trust, but may not have been repaired due to their age of the vehicle.
So, speaking about some of these other vehicles. These, I think you said it's two vehicles that you're going to be decommissioning?
Yes. A reserve truck and a frontline truck.
Are either of those two vehicles the vehicle that was involved in the accident at the airport about a year ago?
No.
Or the one that just recently happened at Post Road?
No.
Neither of those two vehicles?
No, sir.
And so they've had this vehicle back. Let me back up. The two vehicles, one of them I think you said is a pumper that's being decommissioned. How many miles on that vehicle?
That was roughly around 160,000 miles on that vehicle.
In what year is that vehicle?
Two thousand four.
So it's about 20 years old. Okay.
Oh yeah, I know you gave that somewhere. There it is.
Chief, did you want to add anything, Deputy Chief?
So it's Assistant Chief Alan Govea. He has a list of the data of the vehicle in question that we were just speaking of.
Okay. So the vehicle that we have averages about 8,000 miles a year. It's a 20-year-old vehicle.
The one that we just decommissioned, you're referring to?
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
If that's what that comes out to.
I'm comparing it to the mileage on the one that we're inheriting, which is averaging 7,183 miles a year. I believe that's all the questions that I have. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions from members of the council? Questions from members of the public? Questions, comments from members of the public? Thank you.
Thank you.
The next item will be bid 2024-373 and provide and install electric components for Warning Horn at Conemaugh Point. This is found on page 55. Chrissy, once you identify, I'll hand it over to Councilman Gebhardt. Thank you.
Hi, Christy.
Hello, Christy Moretti, Public Works.
All right, so this is work that's already done, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And so this is prep for the installation of the alerting system, not the actual alerting system, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And when will that be up and active?
I'm not entirely sure on that. I would imagine before the summer. We've gotten all the electrical components installed underground, connected, ready to go. So we just have to get the next phase of it completed.
Okay. All right, got it. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any questions from members of the committee? Questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattisaur.
Thank you, Chairman. Hello, Christy.
Hello.
Christy, why? So let me back up. I think Councilman Gebhardt already touched on it, but this work in the amount of $16,830.98, this work has already been done?
Yes.
And how is it that it was done without getting approval from the city council?
This was a direction from the administration. It was coordinated. We received the bill, so.
So perhaps the chief of staff would like to answer that question. And that question is, how is this work being authorized and completed without getting approval from the city council? And this is the second time in about 2 months that we've had this same situation. And by the way, this work began to be performed, most of it was done about 8 months ago.
Correct.
Thank you, Councilman. I see the chief is The councilman requested the chief speak. I see the chief is consulting. If we can just wait a moment.
Sure.
Good evening, Chief.
Good evening, Chairman. Aaron McAsee, Mayor's Chief of Staff. If you wouldn't mind, just courtesy for us, if you could pull this one out, the purchasing director and I confer, and we'll come back with an answer shortly.
Would you like to, you mean put it on pause and come back to it at the end?
Correct.
Absolutely. We
Thank
can
you
do that.
Mr. Chairman,
yes,
if they're going to, you know, have to research this, I'd also like to have the license number of this company, O'Neill Electric, what their license number is. I don't see their license number anyways on this invoice. And I'd also like to know why it didn't go out for bid. So while you're doing, you know, the homework on my other questions, if you could check on that too, please.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
So what we'll do now is we'll just put this one on hold. And I ask that the members of the council committee and public, if you have any questions, we're going to do the courtesy of allowing the administration to come up with the answers to Councilman Lattiser's questions. So we will move on to the next item. And this is item number 14, requested by Councilman Gebhardt, found on page 81, purchase of sand. Bid 2024-384. Chrissy, please identify, and then Councilman Gebhardt, you have the floor.
Chrissy Moretti, Public Works.
This may be a quick one. I was thinking salt when I was reading sand. This has nothing to do with snow, does it?
It actually does.
Oh,
it
perfect.
Does. Yes.
So my question was, didn't we fund a barn?
So yes, we have a salt barn. We have a salt sand barn. So that's where we keep the material stored. This purchase is related to, we have a bid for winter sand. However, at the time we needed a delivery, we couldn't get a hold of the awarded vendor. We had a storm coming in a few days. So after multiple phone calls on multiple days to the vendor and couldn't get a hold of them, the department had to make an alternative plan to get the material. So that's why they called Vinay Grow. And now we have this bill to pay.
Got it. We do have a barn now?
We do.
Is it working well?
It works very well.
That's great. Okay. That's all I have. So are we replacing the vendor permanently with this new vendor?
We are not. This was a one-time purchase from them. We've actually just received a sand delivery from them, from the awarded vendor, in the last week and a half or so. So for whatever reason, in that time period in January when we needed to get sand, they were unresponsive. So we had to, you know, in the situation being what it was, we had to get it somewhere else.
Okay. Did they apologize?
I don't know.
Thank you.
Well, I would like to say that I do appreciate, I had a conversation. I do appreciate the fact of being, you know, proactive instead of sitting there trying to explain to all our citizens we couldn't get the streets done because they never responded. So I understand and appreciate the proactiveness. So this is there any further questions from members of this committee? Questions, comments from members of the council? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Chairman. Christy, I had sent you off, I had sent you off an email yesterday, and I realized that, you know, it was your day off, asking for the contact information for We Lease It. And I don't believe that you responded back to me. So if you could provide me with that information, please, I'd appreciate it. And so what was the reason? Have we gotten to the bottom of this? Why this vendor was not responding to multiple phone calls?
I don't have an explanation from the vendor. However, when it comes to public safety, that's our first priority, particularly with the snow event. So the department did what we had to do. But they did deliver us sand. I actually just received the bill today, so it was probably within the last 2 weeks, maybe. I think mm-hmm. It was before I went on vacation. They were holding it in. So I'm not really sure if there was, you know, a family issue or whatever the case was, but we couldn't get a hold of them, and we needed the material.
Christy, I'm not disputing or challenging what you did. I think what you did was very responsive and was quite responsible for doing so. What I'm questioning is here, once again, we seem to have a vendor where the tail is wagging the dog. And this is becoming annoying, at least to me, with some of these vendors. And I would like to know, and again, I understand your position, if they're not telling you why, they're not telling you why. I'd like to know why they weren't responding to multiple requests. Where this isn't like we're asking for, you know, a gallon of antifreeze. You're asking for something that's critical to the safety and welfare of our workers as well as our citizens, and they're not responding. So to me, that we elicit, you know, I'm going to kind of ingrain that in my memory banks next time a bid comes up, that they're not responsive. Okay, fine. Then maybe this councilman won't be responsive to them.
Well, this
but if you could get me that information, Christy, I'd appreciate it.
This is the only time that I can recall that we've had a vendor not be responsive. So I'd like to, you know, I prefer to give them the benefit of the doubt that they weren't just ignoring our calls for material, assuming that there was some legitimate reason why they weren't unable to get us material.
If they're in the business of being in the position to service a city the size of Warwick with the necessity of sand, if they're that large a company that they can handle that volume, then I think it's more than just one person on a phone or an answering machine and multiple phone calls. What does that mean, Christy? Did you make multiple phone calls within half an hour? I think not.
I did not personally make the phone calls. The highway division did. But no, they made a couple attempts over each day over, I don't know, probably a span of 3 days or so.
There you go. So you were ignored. Because a company of this size, I would assume, can at least have the courtesy of communicating back to you and say, hey, Christy, listen, you know, all our trucks are broke. We can't get sand to you. You know, you're on your own. But they did nothing. Okay.
Please identify.
Oh, Francis Gomez, purchasing agent. Mr. Lattiser, I do agree with you. When I heard about this, I was looking at the other vendors that did submit their bids besides the one that was awarded, and I did see that their prices were actually lower. So what I recommended to the department is next time we go out to bid to at least award two vendors as a backup, because the pricing for this one that we got that unfortunately we didn't have a choice in was way higher than the second lower bidders that we could have gone with if we had a second vendor. Now, as to contacting them, the vendor themselves, I was thinking of doing that, but then in my research as well, I did see that Christie, or DPW, I should say, had POs and invoices from late December, and then this occurrence was what, early January? So, and then the last snowstorm that we had, we lease it, was available. So that's what I just recommended to DPW. Next time, like with something like sand for snow, is to at least have a backup vendor that we can award to instead of just one, because they do have better pricing as well.
Director, I'm glad you mentioned about, you know, reviewing the process. Personally, I think the whole bid process needs to be reviewed.
Well, that's a part of the state, honestly. And I'm not here to talk about that. I was just wanting to comment on that. And another thing is that no one should be in the council reaching out to vendors. That is my responsibility. That's the responsibility of the department. Doing so is interfering in city business. So to say I need the contact for We Lease It, I wouldn't advise that at all, because that's going against city policy. So that's just one thing. But for anything else that doesn't concern this bid, please feel free to follow proper process. And I am always willing to respond via email or take a phone call just to either educate so that we don't have continuous misinformation about the bidding process. I'm all set. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, excuse me.
Yes, Councilman.
May I finish without being interrupted?
I thought she answered the questions,
no,
but
I
yes,
was
you may, yes, you may, you have time. You absolutely have time.
In the middle
time.
Of my conversation.
Okay.
And by the way, I'll call anybody that I feel like calling. If I have a question, if I have,
please, please, Councilman.
If I have a question about something, whether it be a vendor, a director, the administrator, the mayor, I'll call whoever I please to ask those questions. And I'm not going to sit here being told that I cannot make that call. So to finish what I was saying, because this was discussed about the process and because of the recent happenings over the last 6 months to a year, yeah, I do think the whole bid process needs to be reassessed and reevaluated. For a whole host of reasons, mistakes, vendors, wrong vendors, this vendor, get rid of that one. Yeah, I think the whole bid process needs to be reassessed. Thank you. I'm done.
Any further questions from members of this council on bid 2024-384? Are there any further questions from members of the public? Thank you. The next item for discussion is item number 17. This is a request by Councilman Lattisor, bid 2024-367. That is found on page 109. Good evening, Christy. Please identify. And Councilman, you have the floor.
Christy Moretti, Public Works.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman. Seeing as we're, you know, in the bid process here, it took me a couple of minutes to find this page because a lot of the page numbers in my docket are cut off. We don't even have the page numbers. And then I have other pages in this document that you can't even read. So let's continue to hold back all the information. Let's continue to, you know, stop providing us with what we're asking for and give us stuff we can't read. Thank you. So on this item right here, this is number 17, correct, Chair? 109, is that the one we're on right now? Hold on, bear with me. I gotta do my magic here to find this unmarked page. Christy, this is an easy one. Are there any cameras at the gate, or are there cameras that DPW is using in the yard, especially for after hours when, you know, staff for the most part isn't there?
Yes.
We do have cameras?
Yes.
And I understand, and obviously you need to have this gate replaced, but there's a camera on that gate as well?
Yes.
Okay, and there's a camera in the backyard. If there's anyone in the backyard, you know, looking at the trucks, obviously we've had, you know, our share of problems in the backyard over the years. Not anyone's fault, certainly with DPW, but there's cameras back there that kind of pick up on some of this stuff.
Yes, there are a couple of cameras facing the yard.
Okay, thank you, Christy. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councilman. Next on the docket is item number 20, bid 2024-376, SIGCOM radio alarm propagation system. I butchered it. You're going to have to help me with that, Chief.
Propagation.
Thank you. And this is found on page 120. Chief, you have the floor, and then Councilman Lattisor.
Assistant Chief Umban Howard of the Fire Department.
Chief, in the second paragraph of your position paper, it says, additionally, this study will identify the upgrades required to have the existing fire department fire alarm receiving station relocated to station 10. Could you tell me, what does that involve?
So currently we're in the exploratory phase of upgrading our fire dispatch center. And in that process, we have federal grants that are earmarked for it. We're looking at potential locations to relocate that dispatch center. Station 10 happens to be at the forefront of our minds right now because it's a excellent location with adequate space to house it. But before we can do that, we need to do a propagation study to make sure that we have the correct receiving stations and, if necessary, repeating stations for the radio transmitters to be able to reach our station 10. So we don't want to make a decision on whether or not to go there if we have to put really the money that we would have to put into the system to relocate it there. It's really a feasibility study at that point.
Station 10, that's the one in
Pottawamat, the brand new station in Pottawamat, yes.
And is there a tower there now?
There is no tower there, and the new dispatch center will not have a tower. Because of the elevation of the property there, they would have to put several what they call sleds. So they're basically 4-foot metal structures that go on the flat section of the roof between the two peak sections. So it would be, if they put the antennas up there, they'd be barely noticeable from the roof.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you, Councilman. Any further questions from members of this committee? Questions, comments from members of the council? Questions, comments from members of the public? Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
The next item is requested. Councilman Lattisor, this is DPW purchase of flashing pedestrian crossings. This is found on page 129.
Thank you, Chairman. No questions. I just would like to make a comment on that. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. So this will be, these flashing crosswalk signs will be just like the ones that I had installed at the handicap ramp. Crosswalk, I should say, over at St. Kevin's. And this will be placed right at the north and south location of the Learning Garden. This is a very successful daycare facility, and it's in a rather sharp bend at the Warwick Neck Avenue area. And because of the drop-offs and pickups, there's just cars and people, you know, all over the place. So, you know, that's, I'm sorry, at Warwick Neck School, there is, you know, the issues of the speeding over there, et cetera, et cetera. And those flashing crosswalk signs are going to be very, very beneficial, particularly for the safety of lots of kids that are crossing across Warwick Neck Avenue, as well as the crossing guard that that is there every day. So appreciate the support on that, and I'm looking forward to getting them done. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any follow-up comments, questions from members of the committee, members of the council, members of the public? Thank you. Next is item number 24, bid 2016-268. This is found on page 143, police internet-based system for police application and recruitment management. Good evening, Major. Welcome back.
Good evening, Major. Andy Sullivan for the police department.
Councilman Gebhardt.
Hi, Major. Thanks. I had just maybe one question and one suggestion. Question being, I'm all for digital digital recruitment tracking process. Definitely a good efficiency. I don't believe we have anything in place for applicant tracking for all city positions. I don't know, Phil. You might know if we have anything for any of the other departments.
Phil Carlucci, the IT director. We actually do not have that particular module within the Munis system, but we're looking at it.
Okay. It. So I know this is an established vendor and they're doing more than just the electronic tracking of applicants. They're doing some advertising and it seems so maybe they're like federating our post out to law enforcement websites or something. But just as we look, you know, to modernize other parts of the city, getting on a singular platform, if possible, to manage applicant tracking, I think would be helpful. So that's just one question, which thank you, Director, for answering. The second is, I saw that this part in your position paper, Major, you talked about applicants to the department pay an application fee. And then also you mentioned that recruitment is down. So I don't know, just a consideration, you know, is that a barrier that may be impacting recruitment? Is that kind of standard practice? Just something to consider. Maybe it weeds out folks who are not serious. I'm not sure, but But having a application fee to apply for a role may limit your pool further.
So the way this works, to your point, is a $50 application fee. That's what the police app vendor charges. We could add our own charges, which we had previously, but due to supply and demand, we've basically gone down to zero. So we don't get a check from police app anymore like we used to when the supply was higher. It's just a sign of the times, and that was our way to try to acquiesce and try to lessen the burden to any applicants. However, we can't speak for the vendor as far as what they charge. And that's that they are like the standard vendor for, I believe, everybody in Rhode Island for the application process.
So is it pretty common that if I want to apply to be a law enforcement officer that I pay a $50 fee to be considered?
If you're going through police app, that's like guaranteed, because that's police app's business model. That's what they charge.
Got it.
Whether it's an add-on fee by the individual department thereafter, that's I don't know what the other departments are doing, but we've whittled it down to zero on our end just to try to increase the applicants, and still really isn't making a difference.
And would police app let you subsidize that $50? Would they allow you to not collect it from an applicant but pay for it on our side?
Yes, I believe there are like scholarship offers embedded in the contract, that hardship and whatnot, that it's waived.
Okay. Yeah, thanks. I was surprised to see the fee to apply, and then in conjunction with the struggle to recruit, whatever we can do on that side, it seems like it'd be money well spent to get a bigger pool. So, take that do with that what you will. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any questions from this committee? Questions from members of the council? Questions from members of the public on this bid? On this one particular bid, is that your question? Thank you.
Sergeant James Torres, U.S. Army retired, 4080 Post Road. I just had a quick question. Do you guys reach out to the National Guard at all? There's a couple military police units that I'm pretty sure a lot of the guys want to work as law enforcement.
We do. We had numerous members that are still still in the military, and we do liaison with them to recruit, and they have our own members have been the best recruiters. That's why I tell everybody, every officer is the best recruiter,
right?
And should be recruiting other people. So, and we do get a lot from the guard and reserves.
Well, all right, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Chief. Thank you, Major.
Thank you,
Chief. Are you prepared? Is the administration prepared to go back to item number 9, bid 2024-373? The electrical components of the Warring Horn at Connecticut, that's the one we were referring to, right?
Correct.
Correct. Thank you.
Sure. So to Aaron Mackesy, Mayor's Chief of Staff, to start out, Councilman Lattiser, the license number for O'Neill Electric is A-000357. Sure. Correct. Yes. A-000357. You're very welcome. As to the other portion, in speaking with Director Earls and the purchasing director, O'Neill Electric is the city's, for lack of a better term, electrician on retainer. Any work that's over and above what the electricians of the DPW can handle, O'Neill handles that work as it comes up. And as to the work being performed, as you can see, the invoice appears that it was not sent to the DPW until January the 22nd or January the 20th of this year, with the work having been done over an 8-month period, beginning in May, I believe it said, and ending in August, hence the number.
Thank you, Chief. Councilman Lattiser.
So, Chief, I think what you just alluded to was O'Neill Electric is kind of like the electrician on call.
Correct. So, he has that, or they have that bid. Yes.
So what that means to me is when they're being called as part of a bid that already had been awarded for, let's call it electrical. This wasn't the case. And by the way, I'm not disputing the need for this to be done. Mm-hmm. This is very, very much needed. I don't dispute that. I am inquiring about what authority the administration had, DPW particularly, mm-hmm. for doing this without council approval. This, again, isn't a bid item. It, matter of fact, it didn't go out for bid, which was another one of my questions. Why didn't this go out for bid? And how was it that this was, all this work was done and without any approval from the council? How did that happen?
Councilman, this work was started last year. As you know, we've had some recent tragedies at Kennemuckett Point. So in light of that, the administration wanted to move forward with getting this emergency system up and running. So it was started after we had those incidents. The vendor didn't bill us. I think it's dated to late December. He's a one-man operation. He has one apprentice that works with him, so he does all his own billing. I believe we had this conversation about a different job that he did for us at one of the last meetings. So, yes, the billing is late, but, you know, in light of the health, safety, welfare of people that go to that beach, and unfortunately, that was not directly related to Kennemuckett Point, but there was another tragedy last night.
Chrissy, again, I understand that. I said I'm not disputing the need for it. This goes back to the work began on May 18th, 2023. That means it was authorized by somebody, DPW or the administration, prior to that. So I don't see any reason why, given the fact that this took 3 months to get completed, that it wasn't brought before the city council for approval. Now, you could have did it with a 56-6. It could have been done in this case, given the seriousness of the matter. It could have been done with a 3-3. But yet, I'm going to say the DPW chose to just go ahead, authorize the work without council approval, and then come back to us. And this is the second time in the past month that something like this has been presented to us. So how many times is this going to happen where the department just makes a decision that, oh, we're going to go ahead and we're going to do it, and then we're going to go back and bring it before the council for approval? So I guess my question is this. In the charter, are you authorized to do this particular thing where you go ahead and authorize the work to be done prior to coming to the city council? Does the charter authorize you to do that? That's the question.
Councilman,
I'd like to get an answer to my question.
No, I agree.
How many times are these things going to continue before
I understood the question.
This is being addressed?
I understand. Chief, do you feel confident answering that now?
We submitted it to the council. I understand it was after.
I can't hear you, Tristy.
We submitted it after the fact, I understand, to the council. It is presented as a 56-6 tonight. To pay the invoice to have the electrical components of this warning system installed. Obviously, we are limited to, you know, can't be done in the winter time. We can't, there was some underground, not trenching, but they were in, had to run some stuff underground, stuff, things like that. So the explanation that we offer, I don't have anything additional to add to it. You know, in light of the tragedies that we've had at Kennemuckett Point, and unfortunately, with even with the signage and everything, people are not heeding those warnings. This is just another layer of protection that we needed to, we wanted to get it done in order to have it functional for our next summer season.
So, Mr. Chairman, I think I've said it three times that I don't dispute the need and the importance for doing this. From the time it started in the beginning of May to now is almost 1 year. And it's still not complete, right? Still not complete. So that kind of makes me ask the question about the sense of urgency without coming before the city council. And I think it needs to be documented whether or not the charter allows that thing to occur, that type of thing to happen. We're here from May till now. What was that, 10 months? And we're just finding out about it now. Something's wrong here.
If I can just add, there was another component that we also paved Connecticut Point. So we had to get the project started because there was a fair amount of digging from the electrical panel out to, they had to trench across. So obviously we had to get that started before the lot was paved. I forget when we paved it, but it was spring last year. So, you know, we don't want to pave something and then dig it up. So that was how this whole project, I believe, initially started. Do we have permission by the charter to just go ahead and do something? No, but we do make decisions based on
emergency need.
Well, emergency need, but we have to triage things, you know, a little differently. Like, you know, we pave roads, but we don't allow people to open them for 5 years because we just pave the roads. So we try to make sure that we get, rather than do the work twice, we try to do the work once. So if we have something that needs to be done prior to, we want to get that done before we do, you know, the next step of, if that makes any
it does
sense.
It does.
And Chairman, this process took 3 months to get this work completed. 3 months. No bid, no permission from the city council. Took 3 months to do at a billable hourly rate of $200 an hour. I know what licensed electricians get. I've used them all the time. That rate, let me tell you, is not your bargain rate. And it was done without a bid. Something ain't right.
Any further questions? Councilman Ricks.
Yeah. I'm curious, in this instance, were there other electricians called, quotes provided, or the like, before O'Neill Electric Company was selected?
So, Councilman, my understanding of O'Neill Electric performing this work for the DPW, as they do perform, as I said, the work that is above and beyond the capacity of the city electrician, right? I would just point to the invoices for a work over a period of, I believe, 8 months, beginning in May, ending in September or October. In a perfect world, that work should have been, you know, invoiced properly in a reasonable amount of time. And obviously that was something that would have been caught had that been done. As to the contractual relationship that sets up O'Neill as the that electrician on call, can't comment on that.
Okay. So I guess actually my greatest concern, and I certainly think that Councilman Lattiser raises many valid and legitimate concerns here. I think that personally my greatest concern is that Warwick, it is subject to different laws and standards than myself when, say, I'm running my own business, or myself when I'm just running the household. When I need something to get done around the house or for my business, then I might make multiple calls, or I might just make one call to someone that I've gone with before. But really, the not just the letter, but also the spirit of these protocols, all of these rules that we have to follow as a city, is making sure that it's not just a matter of, oh yeah, we've used this one person or vendor before, let's just automatically go with them when it comes to something new, but instead do that outreach. Even when it comes to, you know, these types of situations where there's an urgent need, I think it would have been more appropriate to make a few different phone calls. There's plenty of electricians in Warwick, get some different hourly rates. Certainly don't want to just make complete cold calls necessarily when the job is important and the job needs to be done in a hurry. But it is concerning to me when it seems that there is a go-to person and that go-to person hasn't been in front of the city council. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Yes, Mr. President. Did he have to?
Thank you. Just a little clarification. I think Councilman Lattiser raised some important questions, so we just wanted to touch on that while we're talking about 56.6, the exceptions to notice of requirements, which is outlined in the charter. I think what we're getting hung up on here is the actual process. So yes, they have the authority to do these 56.6 to go out. But I think going forward, I think it's important that the council is made aware as things move forward. Instead of we're getting notified, we have to be notified. We're being notified at the end here with this bill. So the way that we are reading it up here is that you know, they have the authority to do this, but they should make the council aware. Here's the situation. Here is the emergency. This is what we're going to do, and then go out and do it. So I think it's more of a notification problem right now, more than an authority problem. Again, this is laid out here. So I think if the council is informed as the steps go forward, right now, at least the way this particular one came in, is technically we're being informed of this work because here's the bill. So I think that's an important step. So I would like to see that going forward is that, hey, this is what we're doing. This is why, here's the emergency. We're going to reach out to so-and-so because of such and such. And then you're moving forward. You have notified the council. We are aware of this is being work done. And I think that is more of the letter here. Is to make sure that we continue to be partners and that we continue to be updated and we know what's going on. Whereas this, when the bill comes in, it's like, yes, you're notifying us, but it's kind of after all the work has been done and stuff like that. And then there's other provisions as well over excess of $2,500 and stuff like that. So there is language in the charter. So I'm not disputing at all that they do have the authority to do this. But I think if the way we're interpreting this is the process, we need to tighten up the process a little bit and just keep everybody informed as we go. So it's not, here's the bill, that's how you're being informed. It's okay, here's the emergency. This is what we're doing to address that emergency. We're going to move forward X, Y, and Z, and we'll keep you updated as the process goes forward. So that would be my recommendation, is we just kind of tighten up the process here on the 56.6s. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Councilman Lattiser, you have a little under 1 minute. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So, Mr. President, does that mean, well, first of all, I don't recall a 56.6 not coming before us for approval before it's, you know, go ahead and take care of it and do it. So are we establishing a protocol going forward that, as an example, the major, he's got a 56.6 on here tonight for $595,000. Does that mean he doesn't have to come before us to get approval, or he can just go out and buy the truck and then say, well, it was an emergency, so I had to do it?
You know, I'm going to let the solicitor address that.
I'm looking at this type of process, and I'm going to compare it to the construction industry. meaning that, oh, okay, I'm going to put a roof on your house. I'm not going to bother getting a permit. And if I, you know, if they catch up with me and I didn't get the permit, then I'll beg for forgiveness. This is, you know, this is what this appears to be, and it isn't a one-time thing. So if you're going to establish that type of thing with 56.6, that, oh, if the department deems that this is an emergency, go ahead, do it. Just let us know you're doing it. I just want to know if that's what we're saying here.
Thank you, Councilman. Solicitor, you had a reply.
Sure. The ordinance 56.6 provides a process for which in emergency circumstances, with proper communication within certain limitations, the ability for them to address emergencies. The bill, as we're seeing here tonight, would still come before us for approval in final form, but that delay, being able to go out and do work, is intended to not unduly restrict the city from its ability to address certain types of emergencies under 56.6. To your earlier point, under the charter 3.3, there is other emergencies that the mayor's administration can utilize that as an option. So those are the administrative options they have to bring before us, and they come with different roadmaps of how to use them. And so where the council president was, I think, highlighting this evening was the communication about, in the situation you're highlighting, about a longer time delay about when the emergency began, how it was addressed. That's a different, maybe something that needs better communication about what the emergency is and the type of plan that's needed to address it. So
I think that's the operative word, is emergency. So, you know, now, but thank you for educating everybody here about the 56.6, because I didn't hear anyone coming to the mic saying, well, you know, yeah, the charter does allow it. Thank you for pointing that out. But we still have the operative word of emergency. So that's going to be left up to whose discretion. Is this an emergency? How can this be an emergency when the work started in the beginning of May and it's coming to us now for a payment? So tell me, where is the real emergency? That's the operative word. And who's going to have the, who's going to be Webster and define emergency? Or are we just going to let it occur and we're going to deal with it as it comes to us? And then we'll come here on the council floor, we'll talk about it for a couple of hours, and we'll make the determination, do we feel this is an emergency or not an emergency? In an emergency,
Councilman,
the mayor has the authority to do a 3-3.
Councilman, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions, concerns from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public?
Good evening, Ann Sheridan. I think the department, well, first off, I think the entire purchasing process needs better parameters. That being said, this is not an emergency. The payment of the bill may be an emergency. The child died, and if it was an emergency, this job would have been demanded to be finished before July 1st when the busy season, and not languish a year. I'm not sure when the child died, but I thought it was during a busy part of the season.
Ms. Sheridan, I have to, the conversation, I understand that Councilman Lattiser, we kind of went into larger discussion, but with all, to bring us back, the conversation is the authorization to pay this bill that came before us. And Councilman Lattiser, granted, followed up a lot, but as far as the work, we don't know the details, but we do need to authorize, like the time we weren't out there, we don't know what the electrician did. We're talking about, is this bill to be paid from the city?
I clearly think the bill should be paid. If the gentleman did the work, then it should be paid. But I would like to follow up with Council President's comments that there needs to be a better structure about what an emergency is. An emergency is a broken window. It's the flooding that happened at Tollgate to close the school for a couple of days. A job like this is not an emergency. It should require bidding, and there should be at least 3 bids, And I'm guessing that if they went out for bids, they would have found a contractor that would have done the job and had it done finished rather than a sole practitioner. It's not my house, as some we've mentioned. I mean, we lag for things that we do ourselves, but this is government business. This is business. It's not hiring some probably older gentleman who is a retired electrician and working by himself. There should be bids. There should be three bids on everything. I don't care. I don't care the scope of anything. Anything over, I'm guessing the department must have a limit as to what they can spend. I mean, how many times have we seen bids come through where there's one bid on it? That's absurd. Absolutely absurd. I just don't know how you accept that. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other? Thank you. Yes, please.
Sergeant James Torres, U.S. Army retired, 4080 Post Road. I sat as the chair for bylaws and adjudications for Rhode Island College Student Community Government. I don't know if the city has that here, but that language, it has to like really be like updated or something like that, because like it's just a big argument over just like verbiage, you know what I mean? And like there should be like a standard order of procedure for somebody to like spend money. I understand that. And it's an emergency, I understand that. But I was also on the finance commission there. You did have to submit three separate like quotes and stuff like that whenever you needed money from the finance committee. So that was just my suggestion.
Thank you. Any further questions, comments?
Just one.
Who's that? I apologize.
Looking over
Councilman
here.
Sinapi.
Just wanted to point out that at least one of the times the charter defines emergency appropriations, it's regarding a pressing need for public expenditure other than a regular or reoccurring requirement to protect the public health, safety, or welfare. And given that we're talking about Connecticut Point, where several people have died within the past few years, I think this meets that. But that's not to take away from the point that emergency expenditures should be clearly defined, because they should. But just want to give that for food for thought.
Thank you. Seeing that there's no further comments, questions from members of the public, is there a recommendation from this committee?
Move favorable action.
I have a motion, I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Mr. President, understanding that the time is now 7:07, we have, before I do that, I do apologize. We've just completed the bid package, PCR 16-23. May I have a motion?
Yeah, we just did that.
I did it on the, we did. Oh, yeah, you're right. I meant to do it.
On the minutes?
Yeah, I meant to do it on the minutes, and I said on that item. Can we just do it for record on the minutes, please?
Move favorable.
Thank you. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
I do apologize about the confusion. Mr. President, we have two items on the finance. Would you like to begin the meeting, or should we move forward?
Yeah, I would ask that we pause right now. Let's get everyone a chance to settle. And then we have a sign-up sheet here. We'll do public comment. So I'd like to pause the finance committee. We'll start in about 5 minutes of the full council meeting. We'll do general communications, executive communications, and public comment, and then we'll go back into the finance committee. Thank you. So we'll start in about 5 minutes. Everyone's been sitting here for a couple hours, so I want to give everyone a couple minutes.